Morning of today's daf in Shavuos is Chaf Aleph. I'm going to begin today on Chaf Amud Beis. I'm going to just take a short step backwards. We're going to go start the beginning of the sugya. We're going to start with the words Kiyasa Rav Dimi. I did this yesterday, but I'll do it again. This is I'd like to see the entire sugya from beginning to end. So we are going to be starting. It's about a third of the way down. It's this third word in the line is key. And Kiyasa Rav Dimi, I'm Rav Yochanan. Rav Dimi comes in from Eretz Yisrael and he quotes Rav Yochanan. Now, you've been with me long enough in the daf. You know what's going to happen after a little bit. We're going to have Ravin. Ravin's going to come in from Eretz Yisrael. He's also going to quote Rav Yochanan. There's going to be a small discrepancy between Rav Dimi and Rav Yochanan. Sorry. There's going to be a small discrepancy between Rav Dimi and Ravin in terms of what Rav Yochanan is actually saying. So that's the structure of the Gemara. Something we're used to. This is a good example. Kiyas Rav Dimi, I'm Rav Yochanan. So what we're going to do is the following now. We're going to put all of our shavuos into different categories. Now Rashi over here points out, I didn't make this point very clear yesterday. And so it gives me a great opportunity to do this again and do this even better. And that is that why are we so interested in putting everything in its category? I mean, I like organization as well. You know, I like things to go in its right place. But Rashi points out over here because you see somebody making a shvua and you want to be a master and you want to give the proper warning. So you have to know which psukim to quote. So it's not enough just to know, hey, what you're doing is wrong. You have to know which pasuk in the Torah he's violating in what he's about to do. So you want to give proper asra, you have to know, okay, what are you doing wrong, and where in the Torah does it say that that's wrong? So Rashi says all this is important in terms of asra. That's Rashi right here on the daf. But ochel velo ochel. So basically now we're going to have three different categories. So first we talk about the future. Either I'm going to make a shvua binding myself that I'm going to eat something or not eat something. So that's sheker. So that's shvua sheker. I know we've been, the last couple of days calling that shvua's bitui. Synonymous terminology. But that's Shavuot Sheker. Ve'azarti me'achalo sishbu b'shmi l'shaker. And in terms of the pasuk, where's the address in the Torah where that's us? So it's us in the beginning of Parshas Kedoshim. Torah says that you're not allowed to make a shvua in my name, shaker, as a false shvua. Achalti v'lo achalti. Now, what if I do that in the past? Meaning I either ate something or I didn't eat something. So that is a shvua shav. Ve'azarti me'achalo sisa shem Hashem l'kecha l'shav. And so again, where if I'm going to now quote a pasuk, I see somebody about to violate the shvua, and I want to properly warn him. So I point to the third of the Aseres HaDibros. And then konamos. And if a person makes a konam, that is a neder. So, and he says that this is going to be usher to me like a carbon's usher to me. A konam is a nickname. It's a kinui. It's a nickname for a carbon. So, over below yachel devaro. So for that, you turn to the pasuk of lo yachel devaro, and that is the pasuk in the Torah that you're going to warn the individual in the event that he's going to violate his neder. Meitzveh. The Gemara now is going to be challenging this version of Rav Yochanan. From this point forward, we're going to call it Rav Dimi. So in Rav Dimi's version of Rav Yochanan, the Gemara challenges with a brisa. It's a really short brisa. Shav v'sheker echad hein. The brisa says that shav and sheker are one in the same. Now they're obviously not one in the same. They're two different types of shvuos, but we can compartmentalize them together. What does the brisa mean? The brisa obviously is trying to make a point, and what is it driving at? My lav midishav l'shavar av sheker nam l'shavar. So the Gemara says that must mean definitions. Just like a shvuos shav is on the past. Now a shvuos shav for sure is on the past, because a shvuos shav, as we're going to be seeing later in the Masechta, the Mishnah is coming up. Mishnah we'll see in a week and a half from now, daf chav tes. Shvuos shav is I point to a stone and I say, that's gold. Swear that that's gold. So that's a shvuah shav. Anything which is immediately ridiculous and absurd to anybody who's listening to me, that's a shvuah shav. So just like a shvuah shav is on the past. Now, when we say it's in the past, meaning, obviously it's not a shvuah on something you did or you didn't do, but still, it's on something which is historically not factual. So just like a shvuah shav is on the past, shvuah sheker nami l'shavar. So the same thing is true regarding a shvua sheker as well. Shvua sheker is also going on the avar, going on the past. So alma achalti v'lo achalti shekerhu. So the Gemara says. So you see from this shot of the brisa that achalti v'lo achalti is considered a sheker, not like Rav Dimi reported. So the Gemara says midi or yakadis v'akadis. The Gemara says not necessarily. No, it could be that she was going in the future, not in the past. Well, my davar echad hein. So the Gemara says, so now, let's say a pshat in the Braisa. We need a pshat in the Braisa. So debedibor echa nemru. Maybe that when Akash Baruch Hu introduces to Shav and Sheker, so Akash Baruch Hu said the two terms simultaneously, Okay, the Tanya, and the Gemara says, and where else do we find this? So, famously, the Gemara quotes, Zachar v'shamar b'dibur echa nemro. We know that the Torah in the Aseret HaDibros says, it's the fourth of the Dibros, that we have to be Shomer Shabbos. One place the Torah says Zachor, another place the Torah says Shamor. Okay, how do you explain the discrepancy? There's no discrepancy. Kadosh Baruch Hu said both, and he said it simultaneously. So, Mashen Yachol Apel Adaber, Mashen Ozen Yachol Shmoa. We can't do that. We can't say Zachor Shomer simultaneously. We can't hear it simultaneously. Kadosh Baruch Hu can. So now, Bishlam Asam B'dibur Echa Nemer K'dir Avada B'Avadamer, Avada B'Ava Nashim Chayavus B'Kedosh Hayam Dvar Torah. So the Gemara says, now over there, yes, Zachar V'Shamar B'Dibur Echa. And over there, for a very important reason, because there's a halachic application, ramification that comes out from it. Notably, that whoever is included in Shmira, which is everybody, men and women, also going to be included in Zechira and Zachar as well, which is the positives of Shabbos. Now we know that they're included in the Shamor aspect of Shabbos. That's a losase. Women are included in every losase in the Torah. I say every losase, you know, with exception, of course. The Mishnah and Kedusha notes the exceptions. We're not going to go through them now. But women aren't included in the Shamor. So since they're included in the Shamor, and since Shamor v'Zachor is b'dibur echad, so therefore they're included in the Zachor as well, which means that women have a mitzvah and a Torah to say Kiddush for Shabbos. We're speaking here about Kiddush Friday night. See, Tosfos over here discusses Kiddush Alayin is min haTorah, or is just Kiddush by itself min haTorah. See, Tosfos over here for that discussion. But anyway, when it comes to Zachor v'Shamor b'dibur echad, the Gemara says, I know why it's b'dibur echad, because teaching us that women are chayv in Shmira and in Zechira. But over here, what's the halacha? Meaning, you want to tell me that Shav and Sheker is b'dibur echad? Okay, but that's only important if that creates a nafkamina. What's the nafkamina? So the Gemara says, Ella. Okay, so the Gemara says, okay. So we're going to basically now go through a new route. This is where we got to yesterday. And this is now where we're picking it up. But now you see the whole sugya. So what do we have right now? A statement by Rav Dimi in terms of how to properly categorize our shvuas. What do we have right now according to Rav Dimi? A Shvua Sheker Sha'avar falls under the category of Shvua Shav. A Shvua Sheker La'asid falls under the category of Shvua Sheker. A Neder falls under the category of a Neder, meaning Lo Yechel Dvaro. And again, I need to know all this because I need to know which Pesukim to quote when I'm going to give Hasra. This is all Rav Dimi.
How can you have a Shvua Sheker for the future if it didn't happen yet?
No, meaning the you'll violate it when you either do or do not comply with your Shvua. You're right. Meaning at the time when you're uttering it, you didn't violate the Torah. Later, when you do violate it, so then you violate Yeshua. So, El Kishim Shaloka Al Shav Kach Loka Nami Al Sheker. So the Gemara says, so you know what the Brisa is teaching me? Again, the Brisa is four words. I mean, four words we quoted of the Brisa. Sheker, right? Shav Sheker Echad Hain. They're one and the same. So what does it mean? So now the Gemara is going to give the following shot. And that is Malkus. You're going to receive Malkus. And just like the first way the Gemara presents it, Kishem Shalok Al Shav, Kach Lok Nami Al Sheker. Just like you're going to get Malkus for Shav, you're also going to get Malkus for Sheker. To which the Gemara says, Kapalaya. What? Which way are you facing right now? Your starting point is wrong. You started from Shav? No. Start from Sheker and then go to Shav. Ela Ema Kishem Shalok Al Sheker, Kach Lok Nami Al Shav. So the Gemara says, you're going to get Malkus for Sheker, you're going to get Malkus for Shav as well. Why is Sheker a better starting point for Malkus? The Rashi explains. It's very simple. Because when it comes to Shvua Sheker, it's easy to envision you're going to get Malkus for Shvua Sheker. Consider, what happens when I say, I'm not going to eat this loaf of bread and you eat it? So you just violated the Torah with an action. So of course you're going to get Malkus. So at least in Shvua Sheker, there's at least a starting point of you're going to get Malkus. Shvua Shav, there's no starting point. What is a Shvua Shav? Dibor. It's just Dibor. So just like we're going to get Malkus for Sheker, we're also going to get Malkus for Shav as well. So Pshita Hailava Hailav, the Gemara says, now isn't it obvious? No, the Gemara says it's not so obvious. So the Gemara says, there is going to be discussion. We're going to see it in just a couple of moments from now. That there's a Havamina why I wouldn't have gotten Malkus for Shavu Shav. Gemara says, okay, that's a Havamina. And that's why I need the Brisa to dispel the Havamina. Okay. The Gemara says, well, I'll give you another Pshat in the Brisa. Again. The Brisa said, Shav Sheker Echad Hein. We're just trying to say a pshat in the Brisa, and we're doing all this in order to defend Rav Dimi. So we're on the very top of Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. Ibai Thema Kishem Shem Evi Karbon Al Sheker, Kach Mevi Karbon Al Shav. Just like for a carbon sheker, you're going to be bringing a carbon. That's a pasuk in the Torah. That's in Vayikra Perikei. We've been quoting that again and again. So just like a carbon is brought for Shavuot Sheker, obviously we're talking about a shogeg. So too, there would be a carbon for Shavuot Shev as well. Rabbi Akiva, the Mechayev L'Sha'avar Kilaba. Now, obviously, in order to say this, you're also going to have to subscribe to the viewpoint of Rabbi Akiva. We keep hitting this machlokus again and again. It's one of the main machloksim in Shavuos, in terms of when are you chayev a carbon olav yored. The Torah spells out specifically, lahara o lehetiv, which is clearly going on in the future. So for a Shavuos Sheker, you know you're going to bring you know you're going to be chayev a carbon olav yored on Asid. What about Avar? So it's a machlokus we've seen time and again. Rabbi Akiva includes Avar as well, based on drashas. We'll see the drashas later. So Rabbi Akiva has it both on the future and on the past. And as long as we're within the sheet of Rabbi Akiva, so not only are you going to be chayav a karban on Avar for Shavuot Sheker, you're also going to be chayav a karban on Shavuot Shav as well, if you make such a Shavuot b'shogeg. It's a funny shogeg. Meaning, what would the shogeg be? Presumably the shogeg would be, I forgot that it's Aser. Meaning, I know what I'm saying is ridiculous. I know my Shavuot is ridiculous, but I forgot that it was Aser. I guess we'll say something like that. But in any event, what the Gemara is now suggesting is, that's the pshat in the Braisa. Now, obviously, if you hold like Rabbi Yishmael, you can't say this. Because according to Rabbi Yishmael, the only time you're chayv a carbon olav yored is on Asid, not an Aver. So if you're not chayv on a Sheker She'aver, according to Rabbi Yishmael, you're certainly not going to be chayv a carbon olav yored on Shavuot Shav as well. Fine. Meitzvei, the Gemara challenges. Ezehu Shavuot Shav. So the Gemara quotes the Mishnah we'll see later on. Nishba l'shano sasiyadu l'adam. Shavuot Sheker. Nishba l'hachlif. The Braisa says, what is our definition of a Shavuot Shav? Making a Shavuot on something which is ridiculous. People know that what I'm saying is patently absurd. I make a Shavuot to that effect. Shavuot Sheker. Nishba l'hachlif. And the Shavuot Sheker is, I make a Shavuot l'hachlif. Now that sounds like I made a Shavuot to change something that happened historically. Meaning, I ate the loaf of bread and I swore that I didn't eat it. Or I didn't eat the loaf of bread and I swore that I ate it. That's going on in the past. That's nice, but that's not what Rav Dimi said. Rav Dimi said anything in the past files under Shav, not Sheker. So Ema, Nishba, Umachlif. So the Gemara says, okay, we'll make a small edit in the Braisa. The Braisa we're now going to read as Shavuot, Nishba, Umachlif, which is going on in the future, which is, according to Rav Dimi, what you want to hear. Because for Rav Dimi, Shavuot Sheker is going on in the future, not in the past. Okay, Ad Kan. That takes us now through round one. Round one of today's daf is Rav Dimi's understanding of how to categorize your Shavuos. Again, for Rav Dimi, making a Shavuot on the future, I either will or will not eat that loaf of bread, that Shavuot Sheker, assuming if in the event I go against what I promised I was going to do or not do. On the past, according to Rav Dimi, if I said I did or did not eat that loaf of bread, that falls under the category of Shavuot Shav, not Shavuot Sheker. And if I make a konam, if I say this will be usher to me like a carbon's usher to me, so that is a neder, and that is lo yachel devaro. And again, important, why do I need to know these categories? So that when you're giving asra, you're quoting the right pesukim. So says Rashi on the Amud Beis of yesterday's daf. So far, so good. That's all round one. Round two. Kiyasa Ravin Amar Rav Yirmiyah Amar Rabbi Abau Amar Rav Yochanan. Ravin comes in from Eretz Yisrael. And he quotes Rabbi Yirmiyah, and he quotes Rabbi Abau, and he quotes Rav Yochanan. Achalti v'lo achalti sheker. That if I make a shvua on the past, I did or did not eat that loaf of bread. That falls under the category of sheker. V'azharte melos ishbu v'shmi l'shaker. So, and the proper pasuk to quote is the pasuk from Parshas Kedoshim. Ochel v'lo ochel. If I make a shvua on the future, that's over below yachel devaro. That's a violation of lo yachel devaro. Veizu yishvua shav, nishba l'shana siyadu la'adam, and a shvua shav, when I make a shvua on something that is patently absurd. Okay. That is the shita of Ravin. So now Ravin has it that the future is lo yachel devaro, the past is shvua sheker, and then an absurd statement, which is patently not true, and everybody knows it, that's the shvua shav. Okay, I'll make the point now. Maybe I'll make it again a little bit later as well. So we have really two options of how to put everything in its proper category. The Rambam, who does he go like? Seemingly none of the above. The Rambam, that obviously is difficult. You like the Rambam to follow. The Rambam is in the beginning of Hilchos Shavuos. Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Shavuos in the first perek. So he says that both Asid and Avar fall under the category Shavuos Sheker. Something that's patently absurd is the Shavuos Shav. So how did the Rambam do that? When that's not one of our options in today's daf. Okay, so that's its own discussion. But I just, you know, trying to make it as clear as possible. Anyway, in the Gemara now, we're learning the second version of Rav Yochanan. We're learning Rav's version of Rav Yochanan, that Asid is Sheker. Past is Sheker, Shavuos Sheker. Future is Lo Yachel Devaro. And an absurd statement is Shavuos Shav. Amar Rav Papa. Had Rabbi Abba La Beferish Idmar La Mechlala Idmar. Now, this statement of Rabbi Abba wasn't stated explicitly, but it was implicit based on another statement that Rav Yochanan made. So let's now go through the steps. This is going to be almost the remainder of today's Amud to basically follow the train of thought of Rabbi Abahu to clearly demonstrate that this is the proper understanding of Rav Yochanan. So we start here. Amar Rav Dimi, Amar Avin, Amar Rav, Amram, Amar Rav Yitzhak, Amar Rav Yochanan, Rav Yehuda, Amar Mishum, Rav Yosef, Glili, Kol Lo Sase Shebetara, La Sheish Ba Maisa, Lokin Alav, Vishayim Ba Maisa, Ein Lokin Alav. So we start off with the basics. When are you going to get Malkus? When you violate a lav sheyesh bo maisa. So if you violate a negative prohibition of the Torah, one that demands an action, so you're going to get Malkus. If you violate a lo sase in the Torah that does not demand an action, but is just verbal in nature, so you're not going to get Malkus. Good. That's the starting point. We all know that. That's the Gemara in Malkus, third perek. We've covered this already recently. Good. Chutz. But the part that we want right now are the exceptions. There are exceptions to the rule. Nishba, Meimer, Mikala, Eschavero, Bishem. Exceptions are Shvua, Temura, and cursing somebody using Shem Hashem. And Rashi over here says Shem HaMiyuchad. We right now are only interested in the first of the three exceptions. So Temura and Mikala, Eschavero, Bishem is not our topic for today. We're going to just focus on Shvua. Nishba, Minalan. So now we're saying the following. For Shvua Sheker, even though it's verbal in nature, you're still going to get Malkus, and it's an exception to the general rule. Now, Minalan. Amar Rav Yochanan Mishim Rashbi, Amar Kra, Lo Sisa Hashem Hashem Elokecha, Lishav, Ki Lo Yinakeh. The third of the Aseret HaDibros, that you're not allowed to use Hashem's name, Lishav, in vain, Ki Lo Yinakeh, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu simply does not have tolerance for this, and you will not get expunged for that Aveira. Based in Shomala in Menachin, and now this is the Gemara's comment, this is the Rashbi's comment on the Pasuk. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not expunge. So based in Shomala in Menachin Oso, based in Shomata, Malkin Oso, Menachin Oso. Based in Shomata, however, in the event that they're given the power to give corporal punishment, meaning there are witnesses, there's a Sra'a, so then based in Shomata will give you Malkus and be Menachin and expunge. So Rav Papa says to Abaye, is that really the pshat in the pasuk? Maybe lo yinakeh klal. Maybe the Torah is just simply saying, look, this is such a serious avera. Using a Kadosh Baruch Hu's name in vain, maybe there's no nikui. There's no way to cleanse an individual from such a sin. Iksiv ki lo yinakeh kedah kamar. To which Abaye says back to Rav Papa, if the Torah would have stopped with the words ki lo yinakeh, I'm with you. However, Hashem udeinu manakeh, aval beis neshamata malkin oso manakin oso. By virtue of the fact that the Torah added the word Hashem is not manakeh, so the diuk is very simple. Hashem is not manakeh, but beis neshamata may have the opportunity to be manakeh. Okay, now, what have we just established? That for a shvua, beis neshamata does give malkus, even though it is a lav she'ein b'maisa, and even though the general rule is lav she'ein b'maisa, you don't get malkus, but shvua shav is an exception. Now, ashkechan shvua shav. Now, so far we know you're going to get malkus for shvua shav. Shvua sheker minalan. How about shvua sheker? So Rav Yochanan didday amar. So Rav Yochanan says now in his own name, l'shav l'shav shtei pa'amim. It says the word shav in the pasuk twice. Pasuk says, I'm reading the pasuk inside. Lo sisa Hashem Hashem elokecha l'shav. Ki lo yinakeh Hashem es asher yisa ishmo l'shav. It says shav twice in the Torah. So now, Shavuos Shav only needed to be said once in the Pasuk. The fact that it says it a second time is coming to include Sheker as well. V'haviba Rabbi Abahu. So far now, this is step number two. Step number two is that we're including Shavuot Sheker, which means that you're going to get Malkus for Shavuot Sheker. And then now Rabbi Abahu makes the next step in this discussion, which is, Hai Shavuot Sheker Yechidami. Good. So you're going to get Malkus for Shavuot Sheker. Which Shavuot Sheker are you going to get Malkus for? So Elim Shavuot Shelo Ochel V'Achal. So the example of, I make a Shavuot that I'm not going to eat this loaf of bread. How do you violate your Shavuot? By eating it. That's clearly a Maisa. So Lav Sheish Ma Maisa. So that's of course a Lav Sheish Ma Maisa. And of course you're going to get Malkus for that. I didn't need a pasuk in the Torah to tell me you're going to get Malkus. That's a Maisa. Ve'ela Damar Shavuot She'ochel V'lo Achal. Maybe it's the other way. Maybe the Shavuot is on something that I make a Shavuot that I'm not going to eat it. Sorry, let me do that again. Let me do it better. I made a Shavuot that I am going to eat it, and I abstain from not eating it. So hi miloka. But you're not going to get Malkus for that, because v'ha itmar Shavuot She'ochel Kikar Z'ayom V'ava Yom V'lo Achla. A person says that he's going to eat this by, and he gives himself a deadline. I'm going to eat it by the end of the day. And he binds himself with a shavuot that he's going to eat it by the end of the day. And then by the end of the day comes and he doesn't eat it, so there's no Malkus. And Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish both agree there's not going to be Malkus. Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish Amar Tavayu and Eloka. Rav Yochanan Amar Ein Eloka Mishum Dehav Lav Shem B'Maisa V'chol Lav Shem B'Maisa Ein Eloka Nalav. So Rav Yochanan says there's no Malkus because it's a Lav Shem B'Maisa. What did you do? Nothing. Meaning, and of course nothing is wrong, because you made a shavuot that you were going to eat it, but in other words, to violate your shavuot, you did nothing, and it's an abstention of an action. So of course you're not going to get Malkus, because you did nothing. And that's why you're not going to get Malkus. And Reish Lakish, Amar Ein Eloka Mishum Dehav Hasra Safik V'Hasra Safik Lo Shema Hasra. And Reish Lakish agrees with the conclusion, but for a different reason. You're not going to get Malkus, because how does that warning look? That warning looks like this. Hey, you swore you're going to eat this loaf of bread, and you got 6 hours left. To which the other guy says, I hear you. And I'm going to eat it, just not right now. I'm not hungry now. I'll eat it, just give me an hour. Give me 2 hours. And every time you warn the individual does not know whether or not the masra, the warner, does not know whether the issue is going to be violated, yes or no. And even as you approach the end of the day, it's Rashi points out, it's hard to pinpoint exactly where that last moment is where you're warning and he's going to violate his shvuah. So it's Asarat Safik, and therefore Asarat Safik, you're not going to get Malkus for Asarat Safik. Now, just keep following each step by step. So we now know that for Shavuot Sheker La'asid, for the future, if it's the Shavuot was, I'm not going to eat it, and he eats it, that's a Lav Sheish B'Maisa. If it's a Shavuot of, I'm going to eat it, and he doesn't, so according to Rav Yochanan, he's not going to get Malkus, it's a Lav Sheish B'Maisa. So where are we right now? So we know we have an extra ribui. Shavuot Shav, it says Torah in the Torah Shav 2 times. The second time is to teach us about Shavuot Sheker, but it can't be talking about the future. Either because you are, or you're not going to get Malkus, but not based on the extra ribui. So now we know we have the ribui, we know we have the extra Shav in the Pasuk. What is it coming to talk about? A Shavuot on the past. Achalti v'lo achalti. Umayishna. Now why should that be? Meaning, on what basis are we going to be giving a ribui for the Shavuot Sha'avar? Amarava b'feresh ribui b'satorah, Shavuot Sheker dam l'shav, ma'shav l'shav, rav sheker nam l'sha'avar. And the answer is very simple. Because what is Shavuot Shav? Second time we're saying this today. Shavuot Shav is going on the past. When I point to a stone and I swear that it's gold, so historically it's not true. It's a declarative statement on something that is historically not factual. So that's Shavuot Shav. So Shavuot Sheker, Domel Shavuot Shav, is going on the past, not on the future. So where do we have a special ribui HaTorah that you're going to get Malkus, even though it's just Dibur, it's not a Maisa? On Shavuot Shav or not on Shavuot L'Shabah? So Ma Shav L'Shavah, Rav Sheker Nam L'Shavah. Where does all this bring us to? All this brings us now to the point of, we see Rav Yochanan, not saying it clearly, but pretty clearly, that when the Torah is describing a Shavuot Sheker, it's going on Avar, and this now fits in with our second version of Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan says, how do you properly categorize? So if it's an absurd statement, that's Shav. If it's Shavuot Sheker L'Sha'avar, so that's Shavuot Sheker. And then for future, according to Ravin, that's Lo Yachel Devaro. Okay. Eitzvei Rav Yomi Lav Rabbi Abahu Shavuot Shelo Ochel Kikar Zeh Shavuot Shelo Ochlana. Shvur shalom ochel kikar zeh. Shvur shalom achlana. Shvur shalom achlana ve'achla. A person is looking at that piece of cake, at the dessert, and trying to really encourage himself. I swear I'm not going to eat it. I swear I'm not going to eat it. He keeps repeating it to himself. And then, of course, well, you know what's going to happen. Ve'achla. Okay, the Yetzer Hara gets the best of him, and he eats it. And even though he made compound shvuos that he wasn't going to eat it, so how many chiyuvim is he going to have? He's only going to have one chiyuv. So under these circumstances, first of all, why are you only going to get one malchus? Why not multiple malchus? Didn't you make multiple shvuos? So it's a concept that's coming up later in the Masechta, but it's obviously the Gemara is quoting it here. Ein shvua chal al shvua. Once you make your first shvua that you're not going to eat it, you're now bound by the Torah, you're not going to eat it. Your shvua now puts a Torah iser on you not to eat that piece of cake. When you make a second shvua, that's now a shvua on top of another shvua. Ein shvua chal al shvua. You can't have that. Once you made your first shvua, so now you're bound, l'kayim es a mitzvah. And so therefore you're not going to be chav on the second or the third shvua. In any event, what the part we want to focus on is that the wording over here is Zui Shvuos Bitui Shechayav Nazdona Makos Vashigas Karban Olav Yare. So this is a case of Shvuos Bitui. This is a case. Every time you hear that, you know this is a case, and something else is not going to be a case. So Lamute Mai. So what is it coming to exclude? Lav Lamute Achalti V'lo Achalti. The Lolaki. Presumably, what it's coming to exclude is the past. Meaning, instead of making the Shvuah on the future, I make it on the past. And then the exclusion would sound like this. For the future, you're going to get Malkus. For the past, you're not going to get Malkus. But that's difficult, because we just learned together, in the name of Rav Yochanan, quoted by Rabbi Abahu, that Beferish rips the Torah, that the Torah goes out of its way to say Shav two times, one for Shvur Shav, and a second time for Shvur Sheker Sha'avar. And that in both occasions, you're going to receive Malkus. So if we're learning now our Mishnah correctly, and the Diyuk we're learning in the Mishnah is correct, so we're saying now that you're not going to get Malkus for the past. So the Gemara says, "Lo lamuti achalti v'lo achalti mikarban zui dal shigas the carbon alav yored av achalti v'lo achalti lo v'Rabbi Yishmael he damrei nechay v'al asi lavo aval mikar laki." So the Gemara says, "Maybe not. Maybe what the Diyuk is coming to teach me is that on carbon, I'm only going to be chayv a carbon alav yored on the future shuas, not in the past shuas. Now, in order to say that, who is that Mishnah holding like?" Obviously, now the Mishnah is going to be going like Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel only has the carbon olav yared on the future, not in the past. Ema seifa. As we turn now to the top of Chafal of Amid Beis, Gemara says, that's a wonderful pshat in the Mishnah. However, consider the following. We're now looking at the next Mishnah. The Mishnah we just quoted was on Daf Chav Zayin. This next Mishnah we're looking at now is on the Mishnah, is on Shavuos Daf Chav Tes. And the Mishnah says, Zui Shavuos Shav, Shechayav Nazdona Makas Vashigas Potter. The Mishnah gives an example, Shvuah Shav. The Mishnah over there talks about how you point to a stone and you say that it's gold. So that is a prototypical example of a Shvuah Shav. And under such a circumstance, if you do it intentionally, you're Chayv Makas. If you do it unintentionally, so Pater. You're not going to bring a carbon olav yared. So Zui Lamute Mai. And again, the Mishnah's language is very clear. This is an example in which you're going to be chayav malchus, and you're going to be putter in a scenario shogeg. My love lamute achalti v'lo achalti dololaki. So the Gemara says, and presumably the diuk is that if I made something similar, what's similar to a shua shav, shua sheker l'sha'avar, so you're not going to get malchus. So zui dal shigas apat mekarben av achalti v'lo achalti. I'm sorry. So zui lamute my love lamute achalti v'lo achalti dololaki. Okay, lo. So the Gemara says, no, let's not make that diuk. And again, if we were to make that diuk, that'd be problematic. Because again, the Beferish Rips of Torah teaches us that you get Malkus for Shav and you get Malkus for Sheker Sha'avar. So the Gemara says, so let's not make that diuk. Lo. Zui dal shigagaso patr mikarbon, ava achalti v'lo achalti, al shigagaso chayev karbon. No, you know what the diuk is teaching me? It's talking about the case of Shogeg. In the case of Shogeg Shav, I'm not going to be chayav a carbon olav yored. On a case of shogeg of shvuah sheker sha'avar, I am going to be chayav a carbon. Now that's a nice diuk, but what does that now mean? Rabbi Akiva he. demechayv l'shaaver kalaba. So that means that the next mishnah is going like Rabbi Akiva. You're going to be chayv a carbon both on the future and on the past. So ha amart reisha Rabbi Shmalhi. So the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. All this is really nice, but now let's take the mishnah on Dav Chav Zayin, put it right next to the mishnah on Dav Chav Tes, and what do we have? We have an inconsistency. We just set up the mishnah on Chav Zayin like Rabbi Shmuel. We set up the mishnah on Dav Chav Tes like Rabbi Akiva, and we don't like that. Meaning, generally speaking, we like, especially mishnayos that are back to back, we like the mishnayos to be consistently one opinion. Reisha Rabbi Yishmael v'sefer Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara asks, is that really how we're going to learn the mishnayos? So the Gemara says no. Kula Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara says no. That's not how we're going to learn the mishnayos. The way we're going to learn the mishnayos is that the entirety of the mishnah is going like Rabbi Akiva, both the Chav Zayin mishnah and the Chav Tes mishnah. Reisha. Now, if that's true, so. Let's keep all this together. I know there's a lot of information over here, and there's a lot of moving parts. But let's keep everything now straight. The Mishnah and Chav Zayin we're saying is going like Rabbi Akiva. According to Rabbi Akiva, you're chayv a carbon olav yared, both on the future and on the past. In a case of shogeg, obviously. So now with the Mishnah is for sure creating a miut. Zoo. This is a case. So what's the miut? And what we don't want to say is that the miut is going on Malkus, because we know that you, according to Rav Yochanan, you do get Malkus on Shua Sheker Sha'avar, Beferish Rips the Torah. So there has to be a miut. What's the miut? So the Gemara says like this. Lav lamute echalte velo echalte mekarban, el lamute ochel velo achal mi Malkus. The miut is going on the future, where a person says, I will eat, and then he doesn't. That's what the Mishnah is coming to be memayit. Aval karban mechayev. But you are going to be chayv a karban both on the future and on the past, because we're saying that the Mishnah Chav Zayin is going like Rabbi Akiva. Umayshna. Now the Gemara says, now, how did you know to do that? Meaning, the Mishnah Chav Zayin, we created a miut, but that was for Malkus on Shua La'asid. The Mishnah on Chav Tes, we're saying, is also a miut. But that miut is going on Shua Sheker L'Sha'avar. So how did we do that? For the Chav Zayin Mishnah, we said the miut was for the future. For the Chav Tes Mishnah, we're saying the miut is L'Sha'avar. Mistabra. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. It's extraordinarily reasonable to make such a miut. Kai v'lahaba, me'mayt lahaba. The Mishnah on Chav Zayin is talking about future. And when the Mishnah then says zu, so what's the miut? Miut must be going on the future. And then kai v'lahaba, me'mayt l'sha'avar. Now, if it's going on the future, do you think the miut is going on the past? Meaning it's much more mistaber to say that if the direction of the Mishnah is talking about the future, the miut also is going on the future as well. Okay. So, when all said and done right now, we have, that's the end of the sugya. We have two versions of Rav Yochanan in terms of how to properly categorize our shvuas. Okay, let's see. I hope I can do this. Don't ask me a week from now. So, we have two versions of Rav Yochanan. We have Rav Dimi's version, we have Ravin's version of Rav Yochanan. Let's start off with Rav Dimi. Rav Dimi says that a shvua sha'avar, I swore that either I ate or I didn't eat. So, according to Rav Dimi, quoting Rav Yochanan, you follow that under shvua shav. You see a person doing that, you want to give the person a proper warning, so you have to quote the psukim from the Aseret HaDibra, the third Dibra. If a person says, I will or will not eat this loaf of bread, that's Shua Sheker. Shua Sheker, you have to quote the psukim from the beginning of Parshas Kedoshim. If he makes a konam, this will be usher to me like the carbon's usher to me, that's Lo Yachel Devaro. Okay. That is all Rav Dimi's categorization of the carbon, of the Shavuos. Ravin disagrees. Ravin says, a shvua sha'avar, either I did or did not eat that loaf of bread, that's shvua sheker. A patently absurd statement, that's shvua shav. A future I will or will not, that's lo yachel devaro. That's Ravin's version of Rav Yochanan. And the Gemara spent most of today's daf defending and supporting Ravin's understanding of Rav Yochanan. Even though he never said it beferish, but based on a number of other statements that were made by Rav Yochanan, this seems to be the correct conclusion. I'll just simply finalize all this with the point I already said once before, but I'll say it again. When the Rambam puts this all under the categories of what belongs where, the Rambam in the first parak of Hilchos Shavuos, so the Rambam writes that, achalti v'lo achalti, either I did or did not eat that loaf of bread. Ochel v'lo ochel, I will or will not eat that loaf of bread. The Rambam says that all falls under the category of Shavuos Sheker. When you make an absurd statement like the stone is gold, so that's Shavuos Shav. And, of course, the problem with the Rambam, which is already highlighted by the Mefarshim on the Rambam, is that he doesn't seem to be going like Rav Dimi's version of Rav Yochanan, nor does he seem to be going like Ravin's version of Rav Yochanan. Obviously, there are defenses of the Rambam, not for now, but that's hopefully all that was clear and all that was organized. Okay. We're continuing now in the Gemara, when Chaf Alef Amud Beis, we're at the two dots. Shvo Shlo Ochel V'Achal Kol Shehu Chayev. We go back to our Mishnah, and we speak once again about Shiurim. A person says that he is not going to eat this cake. And again, he's just, you know, as much as he's trying to motivate himself not to eat it, but Baruch Hashem, he's got a Yetzirah, we all do, and he has a taste. So now, did he violate his Shavuah? He didn't eat it because I said a Mashehu. So Machlokus in the Mishnah, whether or not he violated his Shavuah. Rabbi Akiva said he violated his Shavuah. And the Chachamim say no. When you eat something, how much do you have to eat normally in halacha in order for it to be significant? Kazayas. So the Chacham and the Mishnah say, to violate your shvuah, you have to eat a kazayas of the cake. Not enough to just have a little taste. Okay. E baye lehu. Gemara's question now is focusing on Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva b'chol atar kula k'Rabbi Shimon Sirle, de mechayv mashu. This sheet of Rabbi Akiva, is this specific to Shavuos, or is this a Kol HaTorah Kula discussion? Now, really what the Gemara is asking is Rabbi Akiva agree with Rabbi Shimon? You remember at the end of Masechta Makos? Again, not that long ago. At the end of Masechta Makos, Rabbi Shimon says that in order to be Chayiv Malkus, so how much do you have to eat? Any amount. Kosher. What about Kazayis according to Rabbi Shimon? Kazayis is significant for Rabbi Shimon, but to bring a carbon. If I ate chalev, and I ate a kazayis of the chalev, and I did a b'shogeg, I bring a carbon chatas. But to violate the Torah, meaning if I intentionally eat chalev, just the trace amount of chalev that I intentionally ate, according to Rabbi Shimon, you violated the Torah, you're going to get malchus. Again, with Edom and Esra. And that's Rabbi Shimon Shita b'chol haTorah kula. For any isurei achila, this year is a mashehu. And Rabbi Akiva and our Mishnah here in Shavuos, in the third parak of Shavuos. So Rabbi Akiva says that if you made a Shavuah, you're not going to eat this loaf of bread and you had just tasted, you're chayev. You violated your Shavuah. Is Rabbi Akiva saying this specific to Shavuos, or is Rabbi Akiva really agreeing with Rabbi Shimon? And this is really a Kol HaTorah Kula concept. That's the Gemara's question. Ibailahu. Rabbi Akiva b'chol HaTorah Kula k'Rabbi Shimon Sirele, d'mechayev b'mashu, d'tanya. The Gemara quotes a braisa. Rabbi Shimon Amar Kol Shu'ula Makos V'lo Amar Kazayis Alonin Karban. Okay, so we just quoted the Mishnah in Makos. I already explained it. Uvedinu Bayiflugi Ba'ama. So the Gemara says, so now, if Rabbi Kiva is really agreeing with Rabbi Shimon, why is Rabbi Kiva waiting to Masechta Shavuos to make this point? Meaning, shouldn't Rabbi Kiva spoken up back in Makos? And when I say spoken up, meaning, when Rabbi Yehuda Anasi is putting the Mishnahs together, shouldn't Rabbi Yehuda Anasi also say that Rabbi Kiva agrees with Rabbi Shimon? Why is Rabbi Kiva coming up here in Masechta Shavuos? It's really to highlight how much the Chachamim disagree. Because let's say the following. Let's change the scenario just a little bit. A person has a cake in front of him and is tempted. And his Shavuos sounds like this. I bind myself by Shavuos that I'm not going to eat any of the cake. Any of the cake. And then what does he do? He tastes it. Did he violate his shvuah? Kule am, according to everyone, of course he did. Meaning because his shvuah clearly articulated that he is not going to have any of that cake. Fine. So and that's what we're going to call from this point going forward, mefarish. So under those circumstances, you know he's chayev for eating any amount. So Rabbi Kiva now, really, mashehu is kol haTorah kula. That's what the Gemara is arguing right now. Why is it coming up over here? Lohodicha kocho de rabbanan. Because look, for the Chachamim, one can make the following argument. You see that in the case of Mefaresh, you're going to be chai for kol shehu. So can't you make the argument, if you're going to be chai for kol shehu on Mefaresh, shouldn't you be chai for kol shehu on Stam? And what we're learning together, according to the Chachamim, is no. If a person just simply says, I'm not going to eat, and he doesn't clarify, and he just simply says the words eat, I'm not going to eat the cake according to the Chachamim. How much does he have to eat in order to be chayev? A full kazayas. Kamash malan, dipatri. So that's why Rabbi Kiva is coming up here in the Mishnah Shavuos, not to highlight Rabbi Kiva's viewpoint, but to highlight the Chacham's viewpoint. That's all one possibility. Another possibility, Odilma ba'amaka rabban svirle, me Rebbe Kiva really could be holding normally like the Chachamim. That in Kol HaTorah Kula, how much do you have to eat a kazayis? Like the Chachamim. V'ha'chayin u'tayim ha'ol mefarsh chayiv stam nami chayiv. And over here, this is a halacha in Rebbe Kiva specific to Shavuos. Just like over here, you're going to be chayiv in the case of mefarish, so too you're going to be chayiv in the case of stam. Tashma, the Gemara says, okay, so let's hear. Amar lo Rebbe Kiva hechemasin b'chol kol shehu chayiv, shezeh chayiv. Look back at the Mishnah, look at the dialogue between Rebbe Kiva and the Chachamim. What does the Chachamim say to Rebbe Kiva? Where do you find this? In Kol HaTorah Kula, the shear is a kezias. Here too, the shear is going to be kezias. And just like in Kol HaTorah Kula, you're not going to be chayv on a mashu. Here too, you're not going to be chayv on a mashu. V'im Isa, le'malahu ana b'Kol HaTorah Kula k'Rebbe Shimon svirlei. And the Gemara says, now, if Rebbe Kiva really agrees with Rebbe Shimon, so the response of Rebbe Kiva should be to the Chachamim, what do you mean? I hold like Rebbe Shimon. Meaning your argument falls flat. Because you're asking me, where do we find this Kol HaTorah Kula? If Rebbe Kiva held like Rebbe Shimon, Rebbe Kiva's response should be, that's exactly my point. I hold this way b'Kol HaTorah Kula. So the Gemara says, L'divrayim d'Rabbanan kamar luhu. The Gemara says, no. Really what Rebbe Kiva is doing, really Rebbe Kiva could be holding like Rebbe Shimon. That Mashu is a Kol HaTorah Kula Isser. As far as the dialogue in our Mishnah, Rebbe Kiva is saying, look, as far as I'm concerned, I think Kol HaTorah Kula, the shear is a Mashu. So your argument doesn't speak to me at all. But what I think is as follows, L'divrei Ham, according to you, L'divrei Ham, D'Rabbanan Kamalu, L'didi B'Kol HaTorah Kula K'Rebbe Shimon Svirli, I hold like Rebbe Shimon, so I think Mashu is always a shear. But according to you, but I know you would agree, in a case of mafarish, where the person shvu is, I'm not going to eat any of the cake. I know you agree with me, that if you eat a mashu, you're chayev. So in the case of mafarish, you're going to be chayev, so wouldn't you agree with me that stam also going to be chayev? And the chacham's response is, no, we don't agree. Meaning, in the case of mafarish, you're chayev on a mashu. In the case of stam, you need a kezais. Tashma. So once again, we're just going to re-ask the question. According to Rabbi Kiva, who says that you violate your Shavua with a Mashu, is that a Kol HaTorah Kula concept, or is it only specific to Shavua? Rabbi Kiva, Omer Nazir Shashar Pita B'Yayin, if let's say the Nazir dips his bread in wine, V'yeshbo K'dei L'Tzarf Kezayis, the wine only coupled with the bread gets you the Shear of Kezayis. So, under those circumstances, you're not going to be Chayv. Isa K'dach Ba'amaka Rabbi Shimon Svir Lei Lamalu L'Tzarev. So, super good question. If Rabbi Akiva says that B'Kol HaTorah Kula, it's a mashahu, what do you need tzira for? Any amount of wine would hold the nazir liable for drinking wine. V'otanan. And on top of that, shvu shalo ochel, a person makes a shvu that he's not going to eat. And he eats. Nevela, trefa, shkatzav, ramasim. So chayev. You would be chayev, Rabbi Shimon Poter. V'avinamba. Now we ask a very simple question. Am I chayev mushma mehartzinahu? So I don't understand. The person makes a shvu that he's not going to eat. And then he eats treif. Okay, so in other words, under those circumstances, he already was prohibited from eating that. The shvua shouldn't be covering the treif. Mushba va'omid mehar sinai. How come the shvua is going to be covering treif as well? Rav Shmuel v'Rav Yochanan d'amitar vayu. So to that, the Amoraim say, b'kol dvar ma'mutar min dvar ma'asurim. Because this is what's called Isser Kolal. Since his shvua is including those things which are mutter to him, it will also include those things which are asur to him, the concept of Isser Kolal. V'Reish Lakish Amar, I'atamotze ela b'mefarish chatishir v'aliba d'rabanan. I'bistam v'aliba d'Rabbi Akiva. Damar Adam oser atzma b'chol shehu. So the Gemara says, and V'Reish Lakish gives a different shot, and that is, if you say it b'mefarish, so if you spell out and say, I'm not going to eat any food, so chatzi shir aliba d'rabbanan. So for the chachamim, your general position, your general shvua covers the kezayis, now that you're mefarish, chatzi shir. And if you say stam aliba d'Rabbi Akiva, who says that in any shvua that you make, it already includes a mashahu. Now, this is what the shvua is adding to what the Torah asks. Meaning, let me say this again, hopefully a little bit clearer. When you make a shvur saying, I'm not going to eat, why should it include those things which are treif? Because those things are treif are only usher to you, only with a kazayas. What did your shvur now include? Even less than a kazayas. And according to Rabbi Akiva, trace them out. Now the Gemara constructs, again, another really strong question. If Rabbi Akiva generally holds like Rabbi Shimon, so that means that according to Rabbi Akiva, already the Torah asers any amount of treif. So now we have clearly demonstrated two times over that Rabbi Akiva normally does not hold like Rabbi Shimon. That b'chol haTorah kula, Rabbi Akiva requires a kazayis in order to violate the Torah. And this halacha, that if you make a shvua, you are bound not to eat any amount, any trace amount, that's only specific to shvuas. So shma mina. So the Gemara says that, generally speaking, he holds like the chachamim. Here, by shvuas, he disagrees, but only by shvuas.